Okay, I thought I'd start with a couple stories that you fellas might really like. The ladies probably won't. But you know, fellas, we have the right ideas. We care about the right things. We do get our order mixed up once in a while. You know what I'm saying? For example, there were four guys that used to go to deer camp every fall. They had their usual place and they would go hunt, and typically two guys would go out this way, two guys that way. They'd get into the individual stands, and if one of them bagged a deer, the other one would, you know, help them drag it back to camp. Late in the day, it got dark, and the two fellows are sitting there waiting on the other two, and one of them comes dragging in a real big 8-point buck. And they said, "Hey, nice buck, but where's Harry?" And he said, "Well, I don't know what happened, but Harry was having like a stroke or something about 2 miles back there on the trail." And they said, "You left Harry on the trail by himself?" And he said, "Well, I didn't figure anybody was going to steal Harry." How many of you fellas know what I'm talking about? Okay. Ladies, I know that we don't want to leave you out entirely. You have a way of following through with a task. Sometimes fellas don't. But let me give you an example of your follow-through. It was the Secret Service that was recruiting another officer. This was a person who would protect the president. Now, this had to be a person of the most utmost loyalty. You could take a bullet, you could give a bullet. And they had to test people. And they got down to the last three candidates, two fellows and one lady. And they separated them, and they took a service automatic pistol, and they loaded it with blanks. And then they brought a fella in, and they said, "Okay, here's your final test. It's really going to test if you have what it takes to guard the president. We want you to take this pistol and go into this next room, and we have your wife in that room. And we want you to shoot her." Well, the first fellow just kind of looked at him and said, "I'm not cut out for that. I can't shoot my wife." They said, "That's okay. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you for applying." They brought the next fellow in. They told him the same thing. "We got your wife next door. You're going to have to go shoot her." He took the gun. He looked at it. He kind of trembled. And he said, "I don't think I can do that. I can't do that. I'm not meant for this." I said, "That's okay. It's all right. It's not for everybody." And they brought the lady in and they said, "Okay, here's the test. You got one more test, testing your ironclad loyalty. We have your husband in the next room and you need to take this pistol and go in there and shoot him." She thought for a moment. She got up. She took the pistol. She walked in the room. The next thing they know, they heard this loud clanging and banging and fighting, crashing. And after a little bit, she came walking back in the room. And they said, "What happened?" She goes, "Well, first of all, that pistol you gave me had blanks. And it took me a minute, but I got him with a chair." How come you ladies aren't laughing at that? It's just a story. It's Father's Day. We kind of go with it a little bit. All right, Mikey Walton, raise your hand, mister. This is the muscled-up guy with the ponytail. He and his wife, Darlis. Darlis sings over here. They serve this church in a lot of ways. He's the fellow that painted your yellow curbs out there because we had people stumbling over them. So, Mike, good job. Thank you. And I walked up on the property the other day. Mike was painting. And he said, "Hey, Pastor," said, "I'm looking forward to your sermon on Sunday. I need a whooping." And I thought to myself, yeah, a lot of Sundays, that's what we do with fellas on Father's Day. But I don't like that. I never have liked that. I kind of tried to avoid that. And after all, men rather be inspired. And really, you can't tell them anything. Can I get an amen by the ladies? Yeah, that's true. And so I like to give them stuff that maybe inspires and motivates them. Got something here. And I thought about that this week. What do I want to preach? I've preached all kinds of messages on Father's Day, and there's some real good passages and stories. I felt like, let's just stop and go back to the beginning, the foundation here for me. What do I need in a dad? What does dad mean to me? And I'm 67 years old, and my dad, Russ Webb, died in 1990. He was only 59, died early. And there's times that I really miss dad. You know, we weren't close. My dad was not a believer, never embraced my Christianity at all. It was really a problem for him till the day he died. So it was a tough relationship. But there are still times I'd like to call my dad. You know, maybe to call and say, how you doing? Say, what's going on for you? And here's what's going on for me, Dad. And here's what I'm working on. And maybe even get his approval, you know, for some of my hard work. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And get his advice, you know. Dads are pretty good for advice. But I don't have that chance, but as I thought about that, and I thought about what do you all need in a dad? What is dad to you? Is it important at all? I know some of you have a dad you're close to. Some of you miss your dad now because he's gone, like me. Some are not close to your dad. What has heaven had to say about a dad? What is the Lord's thoughts on do we need a dad? I have a title for this message, and it's called this, Dads Need a Dad. I'm 67. My dad's been gone for 29 years. I still wish I had a dad. And so if you have a dad, consider yourself blessed and remind yourself you are a dad. So maybe from this message today, we'll see something that inspires us. And as I was thinking through that, I realized this. Jesus had a dad. He had a father. That was his heavenly dad. Right from the beginning, you know, he was his father. He had a stepdad that stepped in for a while, Joseph. And Joseph was a good man. He was we see from the text, godly man, right priorities. He was the perfect choice to be the stepdad of the Son of God. But till the day he died, Jesus had a dad. Think about their relationship. It was close. They talked every day. Long conversations sometimes. He spent a lot of time together. Jesus leaned on his dad. And I think as I think about their relationship, Jesus to his dad, and I looked at that and go, okay, what can I learn? What can I get? And I thought, all right, let's look in the Bible and see what's there that might indicate that. And I thought, it has to be a conversation between Jesus and his heavenly dad. That would reveal something. And there's a few of them, and I've selected one. It's very unusual for Father's Day, but it really spoke to me. And so here it is. See if you remember this. Matthew 6, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I know that we consider that the model prayer. I've preached on that, how to pray. I know that someone asked Jesus, said, could you teach us how to pray? You're amazing at it. And Jesus gave them this. But I want to remind you, too, that this is a conversation between a man and his dad. There's relationship aspects here. Those relationship aspects drove their relationship together. So let's look at this again as to a dad, relationship to a dad. And some of us today are dad to dad. All right? I see five things. Number one, I need a dad. Dads need a dad. I need a dad that's holier than me. I need that from my father. Jesus went right to it. The first thing he prayed, the first thing in his conversation, our father, my dad in heaven, hallowed be your name. First thing he says is the key word, hallowed, which is synonymous with holy. Dad, you're holy. Your name is holy. Everything about you is holy. He acknowledges, Jesus starts off acknowledging his Father is holy. Now, Jesus was God. He was one with God. Those are concepts that are hard for us, but he was also God in human form. And this, again, is his human form saying, you're holy. I reach out to you. I call upon you. You're my dad. The first thing I recognize in our relationship is that you is holy. Was that important to Jesus, that he have someone who was greater than him? Someone who was perfect in holiness that he could look to and point to? If God, his Father, had not been holy, what's the chances Jesus would have been perfectly holy like he was? You know where I'm going with this? My children needed a dad who represented holiness in their life. They needed a dad who was like God in some ways. Our children need that from us. Why do I need that from God? I wander. I wander away. The flesh and the spirit do battle continuously. The world is tough. It's a weird and evil place at times. And I need to be able to depend on the fact that my God that I serve is perfect in every way, and especially his holiness. Because that gives me hope that him living in me would create me to be holy. Dads are that to their children. Dads are a road sign for their children, pointing this way, kids, go this way. This is what you need. This is what we do. And let's put it in this kind of perspective. We just came out of camp. We spent a lot of money, went to a lot of effort. Some of you went amazing effort. God bless you. To make camp work. And camp was a wonderful experience, but it gave us those teachable moments with those kids that we might impart something into their lives about their heavenly dad. And it was not just that you got a chance to talk to kids, or that we're going to spend a lot of money and effort on Vacation Bible School and MBF Kids and all those things, but the best teaching is a man with two legs and two hands that sits down and eats the same food with you, that wears the same kind of clothes you do, uses the same language, shares the same home, shares the same air, and you are teaching them by your example of holiness. You really are like God, guys. So you need... I need a father that's holier than me. I also need this. I also need a God that's bigger than me. I need somebody with the clout and authority in my life. When I was a little boy, I grew up in a home. My dad was a big man, a big strong man, powerful in a lot of ways. Tough, rough, could be crude. My dad, I could say, was a cross between a John Wayne and a Hell's Angel. And he's tough. And why did I need that? Well, first of all, unlike my other two brothers who were so unholy and unruly and in trouble all the time, I was much better. My youngest brother was here this morning. He got to hear that. But occasionally I'd get out of the boundaries, you know what I mean? And I needed my dad, who was bigger than me, that all he had to do was say the word, and the word was, do I need to get the belt? How many ever heard that or something like that? That had a way of keeping me where I needed to be, and I needed that in my life. I still need that from my Heavenly Father. I need a Heavenly Father who's bigger than me. I also remember one of my few examples I remember of my dad. There was a positive example. Okay, it wasn't very many, but there was one. I was a little guy, probably 8, 9 years old. We was at the ballpark. I'd been playing baseball, and when I grew up in St. Louis County, and it was Thugville. You talk about thug life. This was thug life before thug life. It was a bad neighborhood. There were older boys used to hang out there. They'd fight and they'd smoke and they wore black T-shirts, black pants, black boots. They'd fight. One of them decided to pick on me one day, me and my friend. I stood there just terrified looking at this kid. I thought I was going to die. I saw a look come over his face. I saw the meanness go to fear. I saw him back up. I saw him stepping back. He was like Godzilla had just showed up. I turned around looking. Here come my dad. He told that boy in no uncertain terms, you'll never touch this boy. No uncertain terms, I need a God. I can't tell you how protected I felt that day. Fear went away. Our children need that kind of dad. I need that kind of dad. Jesus had that kind of dad. He knew no matter what, his dad had his back. I need a dad, that heavenly dad, that I can trust and respect his authority. I've learned through the years I can really trust this dad. I can respect him. I can give him respect that's good. And he didn't force it on me, but he has lived and existed in a manner that I've grown to love and become attached and trust him. I needed that kind of dad. Do you need that kind of dad? Do you know anybody else that needs that kind of dad? Number three, I need a dad that's richer than me. I need a dad with unlimited resources. I need a dad that I know can take care of me. I still need that at 67 years old. My children always needed dad. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but my mom and dad did tell me one thing, you'll never grow hungry. We didn't have much. We really didn't. My younger brother and I grew up, first 10 years of our life, lived with mom and dad in an 8-by-32-foot trailer. And so, it was a meager, lower income type of life for us. But I never remember ever being hungry. Never remember ever being afraid. I'm grateful. I need that today. You need that today? Your God has promised to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I'm grateful today that I have a heavenly Father I can count on. How about you? Number four, I need a dad that's smarter than me. Oh, by the way, can I back up? I'm missing some scriptures. Richer than me and smart. Can I go back to three? I don't want to miss the scripture. That's the most important. Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. Now, it's all possible that Jesus did not know where his next meal was going to come from. He didn't have a home. There weren't restaurants. He walked around. He walked around doing his ministry, believing that the Heavenly Father was going to give it to him. And he got that. Do you think that was important to Jesus? Was that good for his relationship to his dad? Yes. And it's good for me. Number four, I need a dad that's smarter than me. Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think Jesus is saying, I trust you. I know you'll lead me to good places in my life. Places that aren't harmful for me, harmful for my spiritual life, but that, Lord, every decision you make will be a good one for me. I need that kind of dad. And, of course, your children need that. If you're a grandpa, your kids still need that. Still need to be able to have someone they can call, go to, that has some answers, good answers. Have a wisdom that's greater than theirs. Think about that. You think God is going to help you become smarter than your children? I believe so. I believe God gives us the grace we need for every task. It says in the Bible, we have been equipped for every good work. I think it says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to you. Ask God for advice, you will get it. It'd be like Solomon. Some of you dads are like Solomon. Solomon, before he became the richest man in the world and the smartest man in the world, before he became all that, you know what he asked God for, his heavenly dad? Would you make me smart? Would you give me the wisdom that I need to be able to lead all this, these people, the Israelites? I need some special grace from you. Would you give it? You know what the Lord did? He gave it to him. An amazing, miraculous, supernatural wisdom. He was, truly was the smartest guy that ever lived, in all likelihood. I'm going to believe that. God gave him a special grace. He gave it to you. I think right now I can hear some of you wives saying, no, wait a minute. Now, you're saying my husband is smarter than me? And I can see by the looks you're ready to pick a fight. Well, I don't want to exclude you. You're super smart. After all, wasn't it a woman who came up with this? Feed a man a fish, you feed him for the day. Teach a man to fish, you're rid of him for a whole weekend. How about that? That's smart. Okay? Y'all are going to sleep. Okay, number five. One more thing. I need a God, a dad, who is more forgiving than me. Jesus said, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus nailed it when it came to forgiveness. He was calling on his Father. The great aspect about our relationship, Dad, is that you forgive sin. You are forgiving of all things. And Lord, we can call upon you and ask you to forgive us, and you do. How important is that? Do you need a dad that can be that? Do you need, beyond your heavenly Father, did you need a dad who you could, if you messed up, you knew he wasn't going to throw you out. He wasn't going to cast you in the dirt and kick you some more. But a dad would say, I know. Yes, you did wrong. And I want you to know I forgive you. And I want you to know God can forgive you. You need to ask him, but he does. Just like I have. See how you're like God. Why is this forgiveness thing so important? The answer is obvious. There's no peace in this world without forgiveness. No peace. You'll not have peace in a relationship with your wife or your husband or your children or your friends, your mom, your dad, unless there's forgiveness. You got to overlook their faults. You got to offer forgiveness or there'll never be that good straight-up relationship. Otherwise, it's built on pretension. A husband and wife need to have a good relationship. There truly has to be some forgiveness. So that you can keep going on. Your husband is never going to be perfect. Your wife's never going to be perfect. But they can be perfectly forgiven and then you can have peace. Do children need that from a parent? They're not going to have peace. Furthermore, though, we always struggle in relationships if we can't get to a place of forgiveness. If you've got somebody in your life you need to forgive, I'll tell you why you need to do it. First of all, because God says so. Number two, you're not going to have peace. I don't care. You're not going to have peace. We need the kind of peace that only Jesus can give us. He said, I came to give you peace. Not as the world gives is the peace that I give to you. We need a heavenly peace that can only come from a heavenly Father. He knows this is so important that he also said, now listen, I want to forgive you, but you're holding something against somebody. And I love you. You're my child. Your sin has passed away. Jesus paid the price for your sin. It's all gone. You don't need to feel guilty. But listen, there's a problem. There is a problem. You need to make this right. You need to make it right with others so you can make it right with me. The Lord is so smart. He raises this high standard. And then as we forgive others, watch this, dads, it makes you like God. You're more like God than you know. I know that you've got problems and issues and you're messed up, got sin. I know that, but I'm telling you, You're made in His image. You are a unique one of a kind offering to the planet so that you could be like God for people. Today, probably someone needs that place of peace to come back into your life. Maybe you've not forgiven somebody. You need to do that. God did. You need to be like Him. Step up and do that. Do that so your peace comes back. I didn't spend this much time with this in the first service. I think it's the reason is today we need to forgive our dad. We need to forgive somebody. God wants to offer you peace. He loves you. Your sins are forgiven, but He wants that peace for you. And it could be today, too, that you're here and you've never made peace with the Lord. He's a heavenly dad. He is ready, willing, and able. But you need to come to that place of peace with God. And how do you get that? Forgiveness. You need to ask Him to forgive you of your faults, your sins. Jesus came for that reason, to forgive us of our sins and to save us and to cleanse us on the inside. Some of the kids at camp this week that got saved, first time in their life they learned about forgiveness and really learned what it meant to become a Christian, to talk to the Lord and say, "Lord, please save me, forgive me." Some of them said, "I've never felt this clean in my life." That's the benefit of being right with the Lord. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to have relationship with the Lord here this morning, our heavenly dad. We're going to go to Him, have relationship. We're going to pray. And I believe in this prayer, there'll be something for you. So my words become your words, okay? He's not concerned about the words as much as the attitude of your heart. So you pray to the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Dad, our Father, who is so holy, so strong, so wise, and so forgiving, we come to You in the name of Jesus, who died for our sins, who made a way for us to have a relationship with You. He is a doorway. That doorway leads to peace with God. And today, Lord, we want to go through it. We want to have peace in our life with God. I know, Lord, that I need to ask You first to forgive me. I've made a lot of sins. And Lord, I need to forgive somebody. I need to do it. I want to. I know it's in my mind. There's hurt. But I can set the hurt aside for a second to just commit an act of my will. By my will, I say, I forgive that person. Lord, I pray You'll smooth out the hurt. You'll replace it with love, that we might have love for someone. But most of all, we have peace with You. I thank You now, Lord, that You like this kind of talk and this relationship with You. That's what You desire. And Lord, I thank You now for all these dads. They're out there representing God to their families. They're just, as they look up to us, they see God behind. Give them supernatural grace, God, to be all of that and more for their families. Thank You for this wonderful day. It's been good to be with You today, Lord. Love You with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Amen. All right? Okay? Is that good? You all right? Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say happy Father's Day. Somebody say, way to go, Pastor. I'm going to take you to lunch, Pastor. You made it, actually. I have plans. I got these beautiful children and grandchildren who worship the ground I walk on. Thank you, Lord, for the... Get up. Let's sing with Josh, and I'll see you at the back.